In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will keep thy statutes, do not utterly forsake me. So is the eighth verse of Psalm 118. And this introduces a very difficult, hard to understand, hard to accept concept. Very few know this concept. Very few accept this concept. It's very difficult. And that is that God's grace, that is his presence, his palpable presence where we feel him in our lives, where he is with us, can depart from us. He can leave us for a time, for a season, for our benefit, for our learning, perhaps for our chastisement, perhaps not for chastisement, but in order to bring us to another level of understanding. This is a difficult concept. Most people would think it's impossible if you are a Christian to have God's grace depart from you. It can happen. In fact, it should happen. It should happen because it is the way that people grow to have complete dependence on God and complete non-dependence on themselves. There are examples in the scriptures. Saint Elias is one of the most striking ones. He was very brave. And after the sacrifice that he offered to the Lord was burnt up from heaven with fire, that burnt up the sacrifice and the stones and the water and everything else, he had all the prophets of Baal killed. And then what happened to him? This was a moment of great triumph for him, a moment when he must have had the grace of God, because he couldn't have done this without the grace of God. But then he became afraid. There is no other answer except that the grace of God left him for a season. He became afraid and, like some sort of frightened puppy, ran away because he was afraid that Jezebel would kill him. And so, after he had been restored, and it took those 40 days to walk to the mountain, and then God was with him in the little small voice, he was restored, and the grace of God again was with him. But he felt how weak he was without God. If he had not had the grace of God depart from him, perhaps he could have fallen into deep pride and felt that the victory over Baal and the killing of the prophets of Baal was of his doing and not of God's. That's one of the most striking examples from Scripture. There are others as well. Saint Peter, the apostle, who certainly must have had the grace of God abiding with him, denied the Lord 3 times. And felt utterly how weak he was and wept bitterly. But then later on, he was restored by the Lord himself when they were at the fire of coals after pulling in the large catch of fish. There are other things in the scripture that you can see and in the lives of the saints where I learned about this, unfortunately, much later than I think I should have learned. Was from the book about St. Siloam of Mount Athos. It describes this process in excruciating detail. So this can happen. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid when you don't feel God close and nearby you. There is a reason why he is not feeling close to you. It could be your own sins. Probably that's most often the case. But it could also be because you need to learn something. Don't be afraid of God's grace departing from you. He will never have his mercy depart from you, ever. Never. But his presence, his abiding presence with you, sometimes, yes, it does depart. Just as sometimes a parent will banish a child because of their disobedience, sometimes God will remove himself from us either because of our disobedience or for another reason that we don't understand at that time. It's not always because of sin by any means. Now, there is another thing in this verse that I think applies much more to you and I, because this idea of God's grace departing from us and feeling that grace depart is something that only people very advanced in the spiritual life understand. We might be able to talk about it, but as far as actually experiencing it, most of us will not understand it and will not have the ability to discern when this happens. But we can discern this. This plea is one where the psalmist says, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to keep thy statutes. And I know that there will be times when you forsake me. I know that. But just assure me, as my Father, as my Abba, that you won't utterly forsake me. Actually, he will not utterly forsake us. But this is the plea of a human being who sometimes loses his nerve. And that describes us. It's not really a plea of unbelief. It is acknowledging our weakness and our need for God, even in that he reassure us. Something that we already know. Because we know he will not utterly forsake us. And yet we pray that he will not. Because we feel our weakness. And we feel very much that we deserve for him to utterly forsake us. Someone asked me about this idea recently that our prayers talk so much about how unworthy we are and how sinful we are. And some of the phraseology is really very dark and pessimistic to many people's ears. And I suppose it used to be to me also. But now, after being a Christian for a while and failing so often, these words are actually a balm to me because they're true. But also true, along with these words, is that God will always be with me, that God loves me and will help me. But sometimes you and I need to be reminded of that. So that's what this psalmist is saying now. He's saying, I know that there are times when for my benefit thou wilt forsake me. But don't forsake me utterly. And our Father, knowing that our heart is not that we don't believe, but that we just need reassurance, like a child needs to be reassured. When he glances back at his mother, that's how we are. And so he will reassure us that we will never be forsaken. May God help us to discern when God does forsake us. We have to become very advanced for this to happen. But until that time, may God help us to be brave, to have courage. Nothing gets done in this life without courage. Nothing. Cowards are no good to anybody. No good to God. Now, people that occasionally need a little reassurance, that's not a coward. That's just somebody that's frail and has human flesh. People can be scared and not be cowards. But you must push on. So I think in my pastoral life, I've seen people that seem unwilling to push far enough to be able to feel some real pain, to be able to actually feel how sinful they are. Because really, deep down, they're afraid. They're afraid of the kind of person they are. They don't want to see it. We can't be that kind of person. This verse from this psalm is saying to God, in so many words, I want to keep thy commandments. I know that I'm not going to keep them all, or even a few. And I know that I need to learn the ones that I don't keep. So, when you teach me, don't forsake me utterly. This is the cry of faith, not the cry of unbelief. This is a person who's mature and understands his weaknesses, his limitations, and how God is merciful in that he sometimes removes himself from us. So may God help us to have courage, to be able to say the words of this psalm with complete conviction, and then he'll help us. I will keep thy statutes, do not utterly forsake me. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.